physics.
Just checking. Okay. So what I'd like to summarize here is giving you an overview how far we have come in constructing realistic standard-like models from brain constructions, and then continue with progress we have made with stabilizing vacua by including also fluxes in those constructions. Of course, in this overview, I'm going to emphasize things I have been pursuing, in particular in the model constructions with deep brains. The work is based on recent work with Tianjun Li and Tao Liu, as well as Paul Langacker. And if I have some time, I may mention work also with Ralph Blumenhagen, Fernando Marchesano, and Gary Shiu. And then in the flux compactifications, the work in this direction I've been pursuing with Tao Liu, a student at Penn, Tianjun Li, and also, again, Tao Liu. And I'm going to highlight some of the issues of the phenomenology of these new classes of flux compactifications. Those who are interested in this work, I would refer you, in general, the overview on different aspects of these constructions is presented in a review with Ralph Blumenhagen, Paul Langacker, and Gary Shiu. So my emphasis will be on constructions with intersecting brains. The reason is the following. We want to reproduce the standard model, which by construction is not based on non-abelian gate symmetry with chiral matter. And within intersecting deep brain constructions, such realization of standard models appears in a beautiful geometric picture. And then I'm going to turn to discussing explicit constructions of supersymmetric standard modeling constructions with intersecting brains, highlight features of spectrum, maybe a little bit about couplings. And then in the second part, I'll turn to the issue of implementing such chiral non-abelian brain constructions by adding fluxes. So why are brains so great for constructing non-abelian gate symmetries? The reason is that they naturally possess gate symmetry, since they provide boundaries for open strings that end on those boundaries, and the charges associated with these open strings provide for us the gauge bosons living on the world volume of such brains. For a single brain, the gate symmetry is abelian. But if we take a number of parallel brains and put them together, the product of abelian factors become non-abelian gate symmetry. And it's a rather trivial way of obtaining examples of non-abelian gate symmetries. Now you want to address the issue of how we obtain chirality with these constructions. I have to turn to the nagging problem that we face in string theory, which is compactification. We start actually with string theory in 10 dimensions. We have to get down to 4 dimensions and construct solutions that are supersymmetric in 4 dimensions. These features are typically assured by taking the internal 6-dimensional space to be Calabi-Yau space and our space to be Minkowski type. So within this compactification framework, we implement D-brains. D-brains extend, DP brain extends in P plus 1 dimensional world volume, 3 plus 1 world volume directions fill out our space, and extra P minus 3 world volume dimensions wrap P minus 3 dimensional cycles in eternal space. We can have different type of brains with different world volume dimensionality. In internal space, they would wrap different cycles. They can intersect with each other. They can be part of each other. So it's clear that the structure of 4-dimensional constructions with deep brains has very rich structure. And I won't bore you with the attempts to construct realistic particle physics that didn't work. I'm going to focus on particular type of constructions that do lead to realistic particle physics. And that will be examples of type 2A theory with the 6 brains that intersect in internal space. So the 6 brains have 6 plus 1 dimensional world volume. 3 plus 1 is our world. There are 3 extra world volume dimensions that have to wrap internal 3 cycles in the Calabi-Yau space. So having typically two different sets of these six brains wrapping different three cycles in eternal space, they will intersect at fixed number of points. And this number of intersections is actually determined in terms of a product of homology, three cycles, which is a topological number. A beautiful feature of intersecting the six brain construction is that in the internal space, at the point where those two types of these six brains intersect, the quantization of open strings spectrum realizes for us massless four-dimensional fermion. So with each particular intersection, there is associated a spectrum of open strings that at the massless level always possesses four-dimensional fermion. And thus, in that sense, we have a very much hands-on geometric origin or interpretation of chirality within this framework. So we are, in that way, equipped to construct or engineer standard models in a rather geometric way. We take an AD6 brain of one type and NBD6 brains wrapping another three cycle. Because we take a certain number of D6 brains coinciding, wrapping particular cycle, the non-abelian gate symmetry is U and A, and from the other set of brains, U and B. At each of the intersections of those two sets of brains, we get chiral matter. This matter is charged both under the non-abelian gate symmetry of one brain, set of brain and another set of brain, and thus provides for us bifundamental representation of chiral fermions. And the number of such fermions is equal to the number of intersections. So we would choose specifically three sets of brains wrapping one type of cycles, two sets of brains wrapping another type of cycle. So the gate symmetry would be U3 cross U2. The building block of the standard model for SU3 color and SU2 electroweak symmetry will make those two sets of brains intersect exactly three times. This would result in three copies of left-handed chiral fermions, which would be triplets of SU3 color and doublets of SU3. And thus, those would be the left-handed quarks. We still have to supplement this construction with additional abelian symmetry that would act for us as hypercharge, but this is just a minor technicality. There are stronger constraints and consistency in these constructions associated with the global conditions in internal space, since we are talking with finite size internal space, and there are strong conditions by insisting that these constructions are supersymmetric. I'll turn to that shortly, but essentially those are the building blocks of the standard models within this framework. Now, the explicit constructions have been really done within specific toroidal orbifold type compactification for the reasons that we can actually exactly quantize closed and open string spectrum using conformal field theory techniques. In particular, those are the orbifolds of six torus modded out by specific discrete symmetries. So we can now visualize the concrete cycles that the D6 brains wrap. If we choose the six torus to be product of three two tori, the three cycles can be specified in terms of product of one cycles of each of the two torus. Each of the one cycles is specified with the basis A and B cycles on each two torus. And the wrapping numbers associated with A and B cycles we denote with N and M's. So a particular set of brains that we choose N brains. And they wrap down these three cycles specified by wrapping numbers N and M of A and B cycles of each of the two torus. When we take another brain, it's another set of brains wrapping another set of another type of three cycles specified with this second set of N and M wrapping numbers, and the intersection number can be calculated as a product of this homology three cycles. And it's, again, a simple topological number in terms of N and M wrapping numbers. Now, let me turn to the difficult issue of global consistency conditions. The major one has to do with the cancellation of the so-called Ramon-Ramon tadpoles, which actually in this framework can be formulated as a Gauss's law for the conservation of D6 brain charge in the internal space, which can just be written in terms of homology associated with these three cycles and number of brains. On Calabi-Yau spaces, such a condition cannot be satisfied. We have to resort to fixed planes, O6 planes, which have fixed negative D6 brain charges. In particular, for this concrete toroidal type compactifications, we can choose this fixed O plane along the horizontal direction. And then the actual charge conservation can now be satisfied because the brain charges can be now canceled against negative O plane charges. For toroidal orbifold compactifications, these homology conditions can be determined simply just in terms of N and M wrapping numbers and number of brains balanced against the fixed orientifold charges. There is another condition that more recently got more attention, which is the so-called K-theory constraint that analogously in the type of toroidal orbifold compactifications can be again formulated in terms now of different set of N and M wrapping numbers and number of brains. Hands-on interpretation of this condition can be given in the following way. We have to insist that actually any kind of pro-brain that is a parallel with the orientifold plane cannot induce a spectrum with the rest of the theory that would have discrete global anomaly. This is equivalent statement to those conditions. Okay, so if those conditions are satisfied along with this engineering prescription that I gave you, one can in principle construct non-supersymmetric standard-like models, and actually there are infinitely many of them. And techniques to construct those models have been developed by Berlin, now Munich group, and by the Madrid group. On the other hand, one has to point out that typically those orbifold orientifold constructions with intersecting D6 brain insist on Planck scale being close to string scale, and as a consequence of not having supersymmetric construction, that implies that there are large string Planck scale Neuville-Schwarz tadpole, there are large string Planck scale radiative corrections. So I'm going to take a more conservative route and resort to supersymmetric constructions of that type, which we initiated in a work with Gary Shio and Angel Oranga. These constructions turn out to be much more constrained because we have to impose additional condition, which is the condition of supersymmetry being preserved. In this toroidal orbifold framework, the condition for supersymmetry to be preserved implies that we have our three cycles that we choose have to be supersymmetric. And basically, in this framework, they have to be SU3 rotations relative to this orientifold plane. So this is a simple trigonometric condition that we impose in this framework, defined in terms of wrapping numbers and complex structure moduli. And actually, when we have more than one type of brains like that in general angles, this condition becomes very constraining and basically fixes complex structure moduli. I should also point out another issue that in general, when those angles relative to orientable planes are non-zero, the gate symmetry associated with this brain configurations is unitary. However, when brain is on top of orientable planes, there is additional orientable projection we have to impose on our string spectra, and the gauge group turns out to be symplectic. Okay, that much for technicalities. Now let me summarize the typical features of this constrained finite set of supersymmetric models that are currently on the market. Typically, they contain the observable sector, which is the standard model sector with additional U1s. And there is a hidden sector, which is typically built out of symplectic group factors. All the constructions right now on the market are basically descendants. In the observable sector, they are descendants of the Paris-Sala models. The hidden sector is built out of SP groups. Basically, those are groups that are parallel with the orientifold planes, and we have to include them in order to satisfy all the global consistency conditions. So those are very constrained constructions. Now, in the hidden sector, I should just very briefly mention that while this is sort of a drag that we are stuck with supersymmetric construction, nevertheless, the sector can play an important role because typically those gauge group factors have negative beta functions and thus typically infrared strong dynamics that could provide for us Gugino condensation, which would result in Suzy breaking and a certain moduli stabilization. So even if we are stuck with it, it can be a useful sector to address strong gauge dynamics and supersymmetry breaking. Observable sector, on the other hand, is constructed, engineered, with having three families of quarks and leptons, but there is more. Most of the models have non-minimal Higgs sector, more than one Higgs doublet of the standard model. We are typically stuck with chiral exotics, which result basically from standard model brains intersecting with the hidden sector brains, and thus those are objects with unusual charges in the under the standard model gate symmetries. In addition, we have the so-called open sector D-brain splitting moduli. Those are three chiral superfields that are on the that appear on the word volume of those D-brains because the cycles that we chose are non-rigid. Because of non-rigidity of these cycles, we are able to parallel split those brains, and as a consequence, they are flat directions associated with this moduli. Well, this moduli are actually a blessing in a sense that we can employ them to construct new models by brain splitting that would break gate symmetry, in some cases even change chirality. But they are also a curse because they are flat directions, and as we have also degeneracy in the moduli space. I will turn to this issue of curse, how it's resolved with supergravity fluxes, but probably won't have time to address issues that are associated with construction of directly of orbifolds that have region cycles, and thus those moduli are absent. Okay, so what is the status now of these constructions? How far have we come? So there is the first model that has the features of that type of standard model gauge group, descendant of the left-right model, has hidden sector, chiral exotics, and really a lot of Higgs doublets. In a later attempt with Yannis Papadimitriou, we attempted to construct along similar lines, but somewhat more general. Oh, those are not special. Somewhat more general, three cycles. We constructed a bunch of models that still have a similar gauge group structure, but somewhat fewer exotics, and we went down to 8 pairs of Higgs doublets. Last year, we pursued with Tianjun Li and Tao Liu the more systematic construction of the left-right models, in which we wanted to really create standard model only at the electroweak scale, and we got a sizable number of models of that type. We have examples with only two Higgs doublets, and we have also examples that have partial gauge coupling unification when left and right gauge group gauge coupling are equal. I should mention also other efforts, primarily by German groups that constructed models on other orientifolds, and maybe point out the recent model that has just a standard model gauge group, but maybe the issue of how to create Yukawa couplings is still questionable. Now, in the rest, I want to focus on the most recent part, where we actually attempted to construct standard model from the electroweak sector that comes from brains parallel with the orientifold planes. So electroweak sector has symplectic SP2 cross SP2 or even larger SP symmetries. When SP symmetries of in electroweak sectors are larger, we start with the smaller number of families, but employing brain splitting to break this larger electroweak symmetry down to the standard model or left-right model symmetries. So let me maybe highlight this example. So it's a four-family model where we start actually with the bigger SP cross SP electroweak symmetry, which is SP8 cross SP8. Those are the wrapping numbers of U4 and 2SP8. Groups, they intersect with U4 group exactly once, so we have one family model based on this electroweak symmetry, but through brain splitting, we can break the symmetry down to U2 left cross U2 right, create with this brain splitting also four families, but also create more Higgs doublets. Another example that we attempted to implement into consistent construction was the model proposed by the Madrid people that has the standard model, a three-family model based on SP2 lab cross SP2 right electrobeak symmetry, and those are the wrapping numbers proposed by those people. Actually, one embeds this model, we attempted to embed this model into Z2 cross Z2 oriented fold, and in this case, we were able actually to cancel all the Ramon-Ramon tadpoles that satisfy a global consistency condition by introducing a hidden unitary symmetry, which is now able to cancel the additional Ramon-Ramon tadpole. This particular example turns out to have actually two Higgs doublet. It's not a minimal model, but it does have Yukawa couplings of the type that give masses to second and third family. Okay, that much about constructions with intersecting brains. Now let me turn to the second part, which is the issue of moduli stabilization in this framework. Well, one way of stabilizing closed sector moduli is to employ this hidden sector strong infrared dynamics that comes for free anyway in those constructions. Namely, this is a sector with SP groups that typically all have negative beta functions and could lead to Gugino condensation. Let me remind you, the gauge coupling in this construction depends on dilaton as well as complex structure moduli. For example, within original model with Paul Langacker and Jing Wang, we demonstrated that it's possible to, via Gugino condensation, to stabilize those moduli and break supersymmetry. Another dual way of addressing moduli stabilization is to introduce supergravity fluxes. Now the story becomes murkier here in the context of type 2A theories, because the nature of supersymmetric supergravity fluxes is less understood, though some non-trivial progress has been made in a program I've been pursuing with Klaus Behren, as well as recent work by Derendinger et al. Nevertheless, this is still progress, work in progress, and embedding of our understanding of type 2A fluxes within the framework of intersecting D6 brains is still in infancy. So let me instead turn to really where we are more successful, which is the work by turning to fluxes in type 2B theory and finding first example of chiral models with type 2B fluxes turned on. The work initiated by Marchesano and Scheele and by the program I've been pursuing with my collaborators at Penn. Okay, so why fluxes in type 2B theory? Because they are better understood. In this case, fluxes are created by supergravity, Ramon potentials, and in this framework, supersymmetry conditions, back reaction, calculation of moduli, those are somewhat better understood in this framework and advanced by a number of people, and thus lead to rich phenomenological studies, including cosmology, the landscape study, and so on. Let me focus on particular type of fluxes that we like to introduce, because they actually have a very mild back reaction. Those are self-dual three-form fluxes, which are combination of Ramon-Ramon and Nevis-Schwarz three-forms, along with combination of dilaton axion field. The supersymmetry, supersymmetric solutions correspond to the self-dual primitive 2,1 form on internal Calabi-Yau space, and in general, such forms create in four-dimensional effective theory superpotential a la Gukko, Waffa, and Witten that depends on the complex structure moduli. Well, fluxes are easy. How about brains? So what we want to do on type 2A side, we were so successful in intersecting D6 brain constructions, and now we want to translate those intersecting D6 brains into type 2B picture. In type 2B picture, what we do is T-dualize along three horizontal direction of three two tori, and as a consequence, our D6 brains become the so-called magnetized D9 brains. They extend in all internal directions of internal space, But also, in addition, there is induced magnetic flux on the deep brain word volume, namely non-trivial wrapping number of intersecting D6 brains in type 2B picture-induced, the non-trivial magnetic flux, which creates for us non-trivial D3 brain charge in terms of this non-trivial original wrapping numbers, as well as induced D7 charges. So this is like straightforward a translation from D6 charges that I addressed earlier. Now, there is also a consequence of adding a three-forum flux. Namely, this three-forum flux through Chern-Simons terms in supergravity theory contributes to equation of motion for D3 charge and introduced non-zero flux contribution to the D3 brain charge. This flux is quantized, and quantization condition is non-trivial, in particular for the Z2 cross Z2 orientifolds. It's actually quantized in large units of 64. So how does this new picture affect our global consistency condition? So that was the picture in type 2A. Now in type 2B, translation is straightforward. The specific D6 charges in type 2A picture now become induced D3 and the concrete D7 charges. But the flux also modifies our consistency condition for the D3 brain with this large negative contribution. So this large negative contribution was the main impediment to construct really chiral constructions, because basically one needed large negative induced D3 brain charge from our brain construction. So these models are much more constrained. Nevertheless, that was important progress that was achieved in the constructions of the model proposed by the Madrid group, embedded into Z2 and Z2. In our framework, we were not interested in fluxes. But nevertheless, there was the work of Marchesano and Scio provided in this framework for us the first example of three-family standard model with one unit of quantized flux. In particular, this UT symmetry without fluxes now had to be of the type of U1 cross U1, but it allowed for insertion of additional flux factor in the D3 brain consistency conditions. This model as such has only one Higgs doublet, thus it's minimal in the standard model sense, but it still possesses chiral exotics and has Yukawa couplings that could give mass only to one family. Shortly with Tao Liu, we tried to see how we can create chiral flux vacua in the constructions of brains, with brains that have now this large electrovic symmetry, like SP8 cross SP8, where with brain splitting, we create four families. And we were able, by adding the additional U2 internal space symmetry, introduce also one unit of flux. The example that starts with SP4 and creates two families through brain splitting, we were able to add two units of flux. The most recent progress actually involves a large class of new sets of flux models where we use the magnetized D brains that have negative D3 charge contribution directly to be part of the standard model. So this strange wrapping numbers that effectively contribute to negative D3 brains parameter is one of the standard model gauge group factors. There are still, of course, other consistency conditions that create for us additional hidden sector model. The surprising thing is that actually a relaxing condition and putting negative D3 brain charges into observable sector provided a large class of representative models on the order of 30 of three and four family, 20 of three and four family models with standard model gauge symmetry, and one was able to get up to three units of quantized flux. So let me just skim very briefly through the models. There is a standard model with three units of flux that's actually the first supersymmetric model, but it doesn't have any observable sector, so the issue of supersymmetry breaking is a big question mark. Then we have, this is a representative example with two units of flux. There are more of them. There are examples of one unit of flux. We have four family model with three units of flux, four family models with two units of flux, with one unit of flux, and so on. Okay. I will, if you give me some 2 minutes, okay. I will turn to very briefly to the phenomenology of these constructions, but let me also in 1 minute point out another interesting property, namely how we address the issue of moduli stabilization in this framework. First of all, fluxes by themselves stabilize complex structure moduli. Now, as far as toroidal Hiller moduli go, some of them are fixed by the supersymmetry barring the late caveat that I'm going to mention. But we also have examples where some of the Hiller moduli are fixed by supersymmetry, and the rest of them are fixed by the strong hidden sector dynamics. Namely, there are additional hidden sector brains with negative beta function that create Gugino condensation of no perturbative superpotential of that forum. So there is a contribution to effective superpotential from complex structure moduli, and now there is a Gugino contribution with the gauge function depending on the Hiller moduli. And this combination actually can give us now a stable supersymmetric vacuum with all the toroidal Hiller moduli fixed a la KKLT. That's an example of that type of construction with one unit of flux, but the hidden sector brains have negative beta functions, and actually the gauge function depends on Hiller moduli. Now, there is also a curse is lifted in this framework, namely the brain splitting moduli associated with this parallel brain splitting generically become massive due to back reaction of fluxes. However, we haven't solved the world. Twisted closed sector moduli are not stabilized, and we have also a generic problem in this framework that the deep brain recombination moduli along with the Hiller moduli can typically in this framework form flat direction, okay, and destabilize us away from these configurations in this combined way. So we really fix by hand Hiller moduli and turn off this recombination moduli in this framework. Okay, now in 1 minute, just a little bit of phenomenology, because what I've been telling you is great progress, but there are problems. As everywhere, as we start studying things more in details, there are consequences of the fact that this is actually, those are constructions that are descendants of Paddy-Salah model. It's well known, for example, as far as Yukawa couplings go in this framework, that the minimal MSSM Higgs sector, it's not sufficient, does not provide a viable standard model masses and mixing. For specific construction, in this case, we actually have mass only for the third family. And at this point, we don't seem to be able to give masses and mixings to first and second family at the loop level and after supersymmetry breaking because the soft masses are very degenerate in this framework. Models that I was pointing out to you with non-minimal Higgs sector fare a little bit better. However, Yukawa couplings in this framework are also very symmetric, and we have only a handful of the models I showed you where we get masses and mixes for two families. We have no model with masses and mixes to all three families. Okay. Exotics, generic, real problem. In the most recent construction, we had mainly right chiral exotics, and we were looking at constructions. We also have Yukawa couplings of these exotics to the Higgs sector of the standard model that's giving them a large mass potentially. However, there's actual problem with standard model precision constraints. There is a generic problem with breaking of U1B minus L. In this construction, one natural way is to give BEV to right-handed neutrino. This is very problematic because due to R parity constraints, we induce R parity breaking. We actually induce typically two large unrealistic neutrino masses. If we break B minus L with additional right-handed type exotics neutrinos, this is better. We evade those constraints, but of course we still have standard model precision constraints due to this right-handed exotics. An analysis of Suzy breaking terms can now be pursued in this framework, and actually based on full Yukawa coupling and Hiller potential calculation, there has been extensive work on determining soft masses in terms of F, supersymmetry breaking parameters in the closed moduli sector. I want to emphasize in all the models, soft mass terms are degenerate among different family species, both in the right and left sector, and among leptons and quarks due to this fact. This is problematic for generating masses at the loop level in this framework. Okay, rigid cycles, I don't have chance to tell you, but I just want to tell you it's much harder to construct models in this case. We actually have about 5 models that have 4 families, no 3-family model, no GOT models. Conclusions. Okay, I wanted to give you an overview where we are in realistic construction of supersymmetric deep brains, in particular focusing on intersecting brain. We indeed, I believe, made a major progress in developing techniques to construct such models. We have a sizable model of semi-realistic models, but we are nowhere close in our techniques to really address the issues of landscape study of such semi-realistic models. The devil, as you know, as you saw, was in the details, chiral exotics, realistic Higgs sector, realistic Yukawas. In details, things don't work completely. Fluxes, type 2A, more recent progress, no time. Type 2B, we are just at the early stage of constructing large class evil standard model with fluxes. In this picture, the intersecting D6 brains are described as magnetized deep brains. We have a large class of models at this point, up to 3 units of flux. But again, they are phenomenologically problematic issues. Nevertheless, I believe we are just scratching the surface at this point. Now, the last thing would be, if you ask me, are we ever going to find fully realistic constructions with the techniques we have at this point? I would say it's very difficult, and it's a $64,000 question. Techniques to address landscape of such realistic models, I believe, are even farther away. Thank you.
We have time for some quick questions. Fernando?
First family masses. Well, in this construction, as I said, you know, this parameterization of soft masses, now that we completely understand killer potential, is rather fixed. I have to say that some of the consequences of this degeneracy among different family species in the left and right and leptons and quarks are consequences of building these constructions on Paris-Salam models. Maybe we could debate some things if we go after a more general model where hypercharge is not a descendant of Paris-Salam models. Okay? But this hasn't been explored yet. But at this point, at least unless somebody else corrects me, I don't see a way. If we are stuck with the 3-level results that we give mass only to one family or the first two, it's hard to do anything. Yes, that may be possible, but it has to be addressed. Indeed, yeah.
Any more questions? Okay, then, yeah, please.
Right. Because actually our techniques just to construct, we don't get them for free. We have to work very hard, right? I showed you like 20 models, you know, with fluxes, or I showed you like 20 models without, right? It's something that we do very incrementally, and our techniques are rather limited. But maybe Mike will correct me. Right. And we are also in a tiny corner of or before constructions. Right. But as you see, you know, even first chiral flux models, they are very rare and far in between. Yes, I can apply. We were focusing on standard models, right, in 3 families, indeed. But even typically, you know, just construction of chiral flux models was evasive until recently. Well, yes.
Okay, maybe we should stop here and thank Miriam again. Mm-hmm. Next speaker is Paul Langacker. He will talk about TV scale signatures of string constructions.